Question. What's the, in your opinion, what's the over and under of me actually wearing pants?
Ooh, over under, damn. I just, man, I would give it shit. That's a good question. I would say 60% no pants, 40 you are.
I'm actually wearing pants. If nothing else, because I don't want to mess up the seat. I actually paid a decent amount. I got it on Black Friday, but it's still actually a good seat. So that's the only reason, by the way. Back with a new show deep in the basement. Professionalism turned off, screw the ad placement. Skip comedy trolling, plate full of dough. People get offended, you don't get the show. And we're back with another show. I'm J.A. LaRock, he's Randy. What's up?
What's up, what's up?
Alright, we're going to mix things up a little bit. We're going to focus in on one overall topic. And this topic is, we have no alternative facts. And you know what the actual fact is? Gamers not only have more sex, but better sex. Booyah, baby. We got proof, man. We got a study spanning years telling you that gamers get it. I mean, I know it. I've known this for years. Now, that doesn't mean all gamers, because some of y'all ain't getting shit. But overall, we're getting more sex, better sex. And we got the proof, man. I mean, oh, just before we even go into that, what do you think about that, man?
So I laugh about that, and just going back into when you sit there and you think about, like, the old Revenge of the Nerds movie, where you have that, like, scene where, like, the one nerd gets the girl and this and that, and, like, has sex with her, and she thinks that it's her boyfriend, and then realizes, like, it's this nerd guy, and she's like, oh my god, like, I can't believe it, and blah, 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 and he's like, yeah, I got time to, like, learn shit and all that, you know? It's like the old Eddie Murphy joke, you know, you get older, you start moving and shit, it's like, man, we're gamers, we got our hand-eye coordination going, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, man, we got that finger placement down, man. I mean, when you spreading around them keyboards, man,
you know what I'm saying, you know, people sit there and play the World or StarCraft, you know, you get them clicks per second, man. We know how to move the digits and stuff.
That's what I'm saying, man. So, I mean, this study, we've got Wired, CNET, FHM, we got Emacs Health, Metro UK. I mean, there's many more, but I didn't want to bore you guys with all those facts, all those different publications. But we'll just start with the first one, Wired in 2007. Okay, so GameTart, I just like the name already. This was a game rental service. Remember when people actually rented games? I remember going to Blockbuster and renting
games.
Yeah. That was something, renting a game. Especially when you didn't know how to look up games and get information. You'd get a shitty game, and then you'd try to take it back to the game rental service and be like, oh, there was something wrong with it. It's like, what's wrong with it? It's like, the game fucking sucked. That's what's wrong with it. All right, so this place, they surveyed 200 people. Well, 200 women who purchased the new pink DS. And I always thought that was just weird when I read it. I was like, well, what if they got another color? Did that, like, disqualify them or something? Mm-hmm. They had to be the pink DS? But anyway, so they said that these women had sex that averaged 4.3 times a week. Let's stop there for a second. What's the 0.3? I always wondered about that.
Yeah,
like,
that was
when they, when they say, like, you have, like, you know, 3.4 kids, I always thought that meant, like, if you had a baby. But I realized that even if you have a baby, that's still a full kid. What the fuck is 0.3? Is that, like, masturbation? When I masturbate, is that, like, point something?
0.1. That's, like, 0.1.
Because I masturbate a lot. So how many times do I have to masturbate to get a full sex point? Because I need to know this, you know, because I do the whole, you know, min-max and shit, so I need to know. I mean, do you have any clue about that?
Yeah, that's how I laugh at this. Like, you think of that, like, that 0.3. Is that, like, you know, does the 0.3 count as, like, they got the first base, they got the, like, third base? Like, how do they sit there and they judge that? Like, they're saying, like, what did you do? Did you have intercourse? Did you masturbate? Did he grab your boob? Like, what is it that they ask specifically that they're like, oh, he grabbed your boob? All right, that's like half a point right there. You know, like, It makes me wonder.
I need, like, the breakdown of these numbers, man, because this is really important for us. We need to know. It's like when you ask Blizzard for the numbers for their, like, random number generator or their damage or something or speed on a weapon. I need to know because this is important. Because, like, if I'm, like, kissing the girl and then I start touching the boob, like, what? How many points is that? Because I'll do more if I know it's going to equal more points. So when I go to my friends and they're like, hey, what'd you do with her? I'm like, well, I did 3.4 points. And they're like, oh, shit. And if I'm like, well, I did 2.6 and they started laughing at me, well, I'm like, well, according to this, that's good shit. I need to know, man. I need to know.
We need to draw the boundaries of where what counts for what, you know? Yeah. It's like you said, we're gamers, man. We got to figure out, you know, because do you get this one piece of armor that gives you 10 points of protection, or do you take this other one that looks stupid, but it gives you 12 points of protection? Like, we got to know.
That'd be great. It's like a badge system. You walk around with a certain badge, and they're like, oh, shit, that guy got 6.2. He's a badass. Look at that shit, what he's wearing.
Yeah.
So these girls had 4.3 sex, the gamer ones, and the ones who didn't had 3.2. So that's less. And not only that, but so if you never gamed before and then you just started gaming, they saw an increase in their sexual activity. So it's not like they were just saying, oh, these people were already having sex already and they just happened to be gamers. If they started gaming, sex went up. So, hey, that's evidence right there, man. Mm-hmm. Gaming leads to more sex. I mean, booyah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't use myself for these kind of studies. I don't know about you, Randy. I mean, do you think as a gamer, have you noticed any increases?
Yeah, you know, I haven't noticed. Like, so here's the thing. Like, I've been gaming for so long, that kind of, like, skews the whole judgment because you don't know, like, hey, if I wasn't gaming, would I be getting more or less?
That's true, because, yeah, same thing. I'm a born gamer, so my good or lack of sex has just, you know, it's just there. So
it's been the norm. That's the thing. It's like, how can you judge that? It's like, Like, it's not like quitting smoking or something like that where you're like, all right, I'm going to stop for a month and just see what it's like.
I guess that would be the next thing. If all of a sudden you stop gaming, like, you know, when they had the World of Warcraft documentary and they had the people that, like, oh, I had to quit WoW. Let's say that that's the only game they played, so then they quit. Did sex drop? Could you imagine if that happened? It's like they have, like, some kind of counseling. It's like, man, I quit WoW, and that helped me because, you know, I smell better, and I have a job now, and I was able to finish school. But all of a sudden, I went from 4.3 to 3.2 sex per week. Man, you know, I was just thinking, wait, let me make sure that's right. Yeah, 4.3 type, man. I have to look up to see how much was the average for married people because it was much less than that. I think it was something like 2.5. So, I mean, this is way more. I mean, granted, these are younger people, so maybe they were talking about older people, but that's a lot of sex. Or maybe I shouldn't say that because I guess I'm telling about myself. Anyway,
on to the next subject.
By the way, as that was done in 2007, obviously, with the game rental service. So CNET, they did a study in 2011 by Gamehouse and Harris Interactive. So they did a study of 2,000 adults. So the other one was 2,000 women. This one's 2,000 adults. And they found by a 57 to 53% margin that women gamers were having more sex. So, you know, that's not bad, 5% more. Mm-hmm. But here's what was really interesting about this. The study went deeper and found that more than half of these women were in serious relationships. Because, you know, you could say, oh, these people were young and these were flings, or, you know, these people were together for a few months. Maybe they got together when The Division came out, and then they played it for a few weeks and realized that The Division was a piece of shit, and then they broke up. But no, these are actually, like, you know, long, serious relationships. They've been together for quite a while. Now, another thing that was interesting is that 70% were in happy relationships, which I thought was great because going back to, like, EverQuest, there were some people who were, like, I guess you could almost call them like raid relationships, which were interesting. Because some of these people were like the tank, or sometimes the tank slash guild leader would be the guy. And then the main healer would be like the girlfriend, sometimes even wife. And it was amazing because there were a number of stories considering that, you know, in EverQuest, there weren't that many top guilds. Every server maybe had like three or four top guilds. There were a number of them when there were like divorces because of like how the game was. Because when you went to a dungeon, everyone had to fight for the same mob. So you could end up having fights where the main tank couldn't get the mob, the healer messed up. So if that's your marriage, your relationship right there, you can't get the mob done, you're fighting not only in your regular life, but in your gaming life. So that's a lot of stress right there.
Here's a picture like that. Now that you say that, like, could you imagine per that, like, at a game, a fight breaks out, like an argument fights out between like this married couple, and all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, it's like, well, you couldn't hold aggro that one time.
You're like in you're eating somewhere, and then you're used to like hearing arguments about finances or something like that. It's like, well, you didn't complete heal me, you stupid bitch.
Like, your aggro holding sucks.
And other people are looking like, the hell?
The hell are these two like, talking about?
Well, look, we only argue about you cheating on me. We can fix that in counseling, but I don't know what aggro is, but I doubt we can ever fix that.
Oh, man.
Hey, but look, you know, 70% in happy relationships. That's not bad. And
the fact that, like, the stress relief was at 61%, like, boredom was, you know, no boredom was at 58%, so that's, like, pretty cool. Yeah.
And that's the thing. So in this study, they were saying that that's why these women were playing these games. They were playing it for stress relief and to relieve boredom. And what they were, you know, saying is that in the end, by doing this, they're more likely in the mood for sex. So I guess that's the key. You have to make sure that your lady is not bored and not stressful. And then, boom, you can have more sex. So by playing these games, those things get alleviated. And then there you go. In regular life, what? You're probably watching TV or reality shows or doing things like that. Mm-hmm. How much stress is that going to relieve? You're watching, like, Real Housewives and whatever.
Keeping up with the Kardashians and shit.
Yeah, that's not going to relieve stress because you're watching rich people or drama or bullshit. That's not going to help. You could be playing video games, you know, Call of Duty or something, and then having Call of Booty. I mean, it's win-win. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
I mean, look, when Randy, when you were playing with your wife and you ended up saving her, wouldn't you say that brought you closer together? Because you went back and you saved her, and it's like, that's a moment. It's almost... Could you almost say that it was like a telltale game? When you saved her, you saw a little thing in the corner that said... She will remember this.
That's that whole, what do you do, and it gives you the choice, and then, like, it has the little consequence underneath. That's like, go back and save her, but, you know, you'll get closer together, or screw it, she's dead already, run away. And then, like, the consequence is, like, start preparing the divorce papers now.
And it's picking down fast, it's like,
character sitting there looking back and forth, like, what do I do?
Oh, man. So as far as FHM, this was out in 2016. So this one's a little bit different. It's funny. A lot of these are in the UK. Apparently, the UK really cares about this stuff. They have a lot of good studies about gaming. They have better healthcare system. Fuck you, Trump. You fail. So they did a study with Voucher Codes Pro, and they wanted to determine about stereotypes. Because, look, like I said, this is supposed to help counter the stereotype about gamers not having any sex or not being good at sex or whatever. So they polled a little more than 2,300 UK women over 18 about their sex lives with their partner that they've been dating at least a year. So they've been together for at least a while, right? Mm-hmm. And they broke their partner into kind of like, I guess you'd say character types. So like they say a gamer, you know, it means you're a gamer type. I guess people might have a different definition, but they broke it down. So they had these different types. They had gamer, hipster, chav. I don't know what that is.
So I was like, the hell is that?
C-H-A-V. It's probably some UK thing. You have to look that up. Nerdy, rocker, gym goer, and dad. The dad one scared me. I assume it's like daddy type, like parental, maybe a little overbearing, protective. I assume that's what it means, okay? You'll have to look that up too. Go ahead, Google that shit. So the gamer type, again, they had sex 6 times a week. 6 times a week. Jesus Christ. Yep. Hipster, 4 times a week. Chav, 4 times a week. Trendsetter, 3 times a week. Nerdy, 3 times a week. I think that's interesting. The gamer has three more sex encounters than the gamer. I mean, because nerd, I would think you'd have a little bit of nerd in gamer. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but I think there's a little bit of nerd in gamer. But an actual gamer is getting 3 more sexual encounters. I mean, the rocker, 2 times a week. What kind of rocker? Because, I mean, I think I would assume if you reach, like, the Tommy Lee level, unless you actually have, you know, the hepatitis like Tommy Lee, then maybe you're not having that much sex because you don't, you know, the pills ain't kicking in. But I would think you'd be having a lot of sex if you're a real rocker, right? I mean, wouldn't you say so, Randy?
Rocker? Yeah. So the funny thing is, looking in here, I looked up what a chav is just to wonder what the hell it was.
Oh, good work, good work.
And so basically it is – so the top definition here in the Urban Dictionary is, picture this, a young lad about 12 years of age and 4.5 feet high, baseball cap at 90 degrees in an imitation Adidas tracksuit with trouser legs tucked into his socks. Says this lad is strutting around, cigarette in one hand, jewelry all over the other, outside McDonald's, acting as if he's 8 foot tall and built like a rugby player. When some poor unsuspecting adult walks around the corner wanting to go into McDonald's for his dinner, glances at the young lad jumps in, up in complete disgust and says, "What's your problem? Want to make something of it?" So basically, a chav is one of those, like, the best way to put it, it's like one of those, like wannabes.
It sounds like a mixture between a wannabe gangster and a super stereotypical Italian gangster stereotype. Yeah,
that's kind of what it looks like.
I mean, the tracksuit and the chain and everything is like the Italian gangster stereotype.
The old school gangster rapper.
Yeah, the backwards cap, you know, puffed
sideways
up.
Sideways cap, not even
backwards. Yeah, sideways.
Oh, man.
Wow. And he's getting it 4 times a week, man. You UK women like that shit, huh?
Damn, man. He's up there with the hipster.
And he's short. He's short and looks like a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, that's funny.
The fuck?
He's getting more ass than the trendsetter, the nerdy, the rocker, and the gym goer.
Yeah, more than the rocker. I thought you guys liked the Beatles and shit. Wow.
And yeah, like, agree with you. When I saw that dad, I was like, does that mean, like, their father or, like, a person that is a father?
Hey, well, look, you know, I have these ladies that will always say, and these ain't ladies that are interested in me. Let me just put that out there right away. These are, like, the friend zone ladies. They'll send me those top 10 blah, blah, blah bullshit things all the time. And they'll always have these, like, father figure type. And they'll be, like, the protective dad. You know, they'll be the ones that'll tell you, oh, save your money or invest in this or I'll look out for you. And there are women that love those type of men because they remind them of their father in the protective look over you kind of way. But that still seems kind of creepy, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, those girls that had like issues with their father and now it's like they got older, they like date the way older men.
Yeah.
I've seen that, too, where you have that, like, 19-year-old guy or 19-year-old girl with, like, a 30-something, 40-year-old guy.
Hey, if you can get it, though.
You know. Yeah, you know.
Don't hate the player. Hate the guy.
Yeah, exactly. Haters gonna hate.
The gym goer and the dad were stuck at once a week. Oh, wait.
No. Dad was a Fortnite.
A Fortnite. I mean, I think that even when you just say it, It's like, hey, how many times do you have sex? Well, once a fortnight. And then you don't even laugh at the guy. You just lower your head and walk away. You're like, oh, shit.
So you give that fatherly, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed, kind of like just that.
Yeah.
Shake the head, just damn, son, damn.
You just hand the man a Guinness and walk away. I mean, man, what's wrong with the gym goers, man? I mean, what are you guys doing, man? Like, I would think that the gym goer might be able to, like, get up to, like, Chav level. Because, you know, he'd be, like, the buff guy. And maybe they have, like, self-confidence. Maybe he needs to get him a tracksuit.
Problem is that they're too busy going to the gym.
I guess so. Maybe they're like, come on, go to the gym. The girl's like, nah, I want to go play some video games. Fuck that shit.
That's that whole, like, have sex or go work out. Yeah, I think I need to work out.
Damn. All right, well, okay, so here's the thing. We're gonna give you a little drop of the other side, okay? Because we've been talking about how gamers are getting all the sex, but it's not all good. We got, you know, we're trying to conduct a study here. We're being scientific. So Emacs Health in 2009 came out with a study that said 1 in 3 men would rather play video games than have sex. I don't know these bastards myself. I think that these guys are out here just trying to give us a bad name. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. But look, if y'all got some problems, we can help you with that. That's what we're here to help. So here it was happened. The study was done in another UK paper. Look, I'm telling you, this is what happens when you have socialized healthcare. Okay? So that's why we need that single-payer healthcare here. Bernie, I love you. So that's why we need that here. So this was go ahead, Bernie.
I was about to say, and here's an interesting line in here, that the men that were the 1 out of 3, they found to have hormone imbalance and stress were the major factors. So, you know what? If there's something chemically going wrong in the brain,
yeah,
I can understand. That's why you like, yeah, I'd rather play than you know, get some.
Yeah, and this was in the Sun newspaper, big paper out there, and this was conducted on a PlayStation 3 site back in the day in 2009. They surveyed 1,130 British men. And so think about it. That's a lot of guys. So 1 in 3? Back then? All right.
Yeah, that's a lot, yeah.
So, you know, like Randy said, a lot of it had to do with, like, hormone balance, primarily testosterone. So if you guys don't know that, look it up. But basically, that is the hormone that makes men like men. It gives you, like, energy. There's all types. I mean, if you watch any sports or anything, there's always those commercials about, do you have low testosterone? Get Androgel or whatever gel, and that's what you rub that shit on.
That little blue pill will help everything.
Yeah, don't rub that on your balls. They specifically say don't rub that on your balls.
I was going to say, I just started chuckling here because I realized the stream from your side of your video finally jumped up into HD. I'm like, oh, J.A.'s neighbor must have finally finished downloading his porn and freed up all that bandwidth so you can get HD now.
It's the rest of the people here in the compound that's doing that. I don't know what they're downloading here.
Because, yeah, I was going to say when it first started, I was like, damn, man. I'm like, his camera's pixelated and shit. It's freezing up. I'm like, damn, his freaking neighbors are downloading all sorts of shit right now. And all of a sudden it jumped to HD. I'm like, oh, looks like they're finished.
That's the problem. I don't know what they'd be downloading over here, man. They're running all types of shit.
That's the biggest thing. Like, do you have cable or you have DSL there?
No cable.
Damn, well, yeah, that's a lot of the things is what it is, because I know, like, when I lived at my dad's house, like, when we first jumped on that cable, that nobody was on it, it was like, you get blazing speeds, but then you could tell as more and more people found out that we were getting the higher speeds off the cable, they start jumping onto that thing, and you know, it's like, oh, my bandwidth isn't 150 megabits, it's down to, like, 70.
Oh, yeah, and the next thing you know, especially on, like, a weekend, everyone's doing, they're all watching Iron Fist, that's what's happening.
That's what it is. Everybody's streaming and gaming online, that's what it is.
But yeah,
they're online and getting some. That's what they're doing.
No, they're getting some. They wouldn't be downloading some. Well, I guess maybe they're streaming porn.
I was about to say, you can get some while gaming. See, that's what you
or while Netflixing.
I was about to say, that's the peak of these studies right here. You get some while you're gaming.
Except for these 1 in 3 men. And like I said, if you look at those testosterone things, maybe that's what's happening because these guys have that. But they're also saying that it could also be because you have, you know, you're not eating right, which I can understand if you're one of those gamers that's just eating, like, Taco Bells and pizza all day.
I was about to say Doritos and Doritos and Mountain Dew, baby.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's how you get it.
I don't remember if we brought it up in one of our earlier show, but I remember reading a thing to kind of sidetrack the fact that I mentioned Doritos and Mountain Dew, that apparently Mountain Dew was going around to college campuses, and I wish this was fake news, but it wasn't. And they literally were making a Doritos-flavored Mountain Dew. Let me say that again and a little bit slower. Doritos-flavored Mountain Dew. And I sat there and I looked at that. I'm like, yo, that is either going to be something where people are going to drink that and be like, oh, that's kind of interesting, or that is going to be the biggest train wreck that someone's going to fucking come to work on Monday and all their shit's going to be in a box in front of the office door being, what the hell were you thinking of when you thought of this?
Well, I hate Mountain Dew, so that sounds terrible. That sounds like something that when I eat it, I'll become one of those 1 in 3 that doesn't want to have sex anymore.
Yeah, because that was the thing, is I was thinking of like, oh, okay, like I wonder which way they kind of went with this. And like literally they were saying like it was a Mountain Dew, so it had that liminess of Mountain Dew, but nacho cheese flavor on top of it. So I was like, it was an orange Mountain Dew that was Doritos flavor, and they were doing it as a like testing as they were going to, and I think it was like when Call of Duty Infinite Warfare came out, that they were doing like a tour around college campuses and stuff, and they were bringing this just to test it out, and they were like, yo, like of like they'd give it to 10 people and probably 7 of them were like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever drank. And like I remember reading on one of the gaming websites, one of the guys that tried it out, that he was like, this is the most horrific thing he's tried. He's like, if I could give you a visual and like have you imagine the taste in your mouth, he's like, imagine you're sitting there at your computer or in front of your Xbox or PlayStation eating Doritos and drinking Mountain Dew, and all of a sudden you go and burp and you actually have one of those like where you vomit a bit into your mouth. He's like, that is pretty much the flavor that you could expect from that soda.
By the way, today's show is sponsored by Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Doritos and Mountain Dew, yeah. Oh, my God. And I looked at when I read that dude's thing, I'm like, that sounds like the most horrific thing that somebody could have come up with.
I've never, ever, ever liked any of the Mountain Dew products. I like Doritos.
So before I got the beatus, I would say, like, Mountain Dew is one of – so that was the thing that was funny is – when it came down to it, I liked Mountain Dew, but preference-wise, I actually preferred Mellow Yellow better from Coke because – and that was the thing that was funny is if you looked at it, Mountain Dew was basically like a citrus soda that tasted more like lime. Mellow Yellow was a citrus soda that tasted more like lemon, and I liked that compared to the Mountain Dew. But it was funny because it was super hard to find Mellow Yellow because like Coke wouldn't produce it as much as Mountain Dew, or they weren't like promoting it as much. Now, when it came down to the actual Mountain Dews themselves, I remember there were only like a few of the different like flavored ones that I liked. One was the Baja Blast that you could get at Taco Bell, which I thought was pretty decent. But it was, I'm trying to think, it was when they did that whole, when World of Warcraft was doing that big push that they had the two different flavors, one for the Alliance and one for the Horde.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I really dug, like, the Horde one wasn't bad, but I really dug the Alliance-flavored one, and that was the one that when people voted didn't get the vote. And then when they did the different flavored ones, I remember, like, the – I think it was, like, the Raspberry one was one that I liked, and that one freaking didn't make the cut. And they had that Code Red ended up being the one that won. Which is like that cherry flavored, and I was just like, it's like drinking NyQuil and Mountain Dew at the same time. Just, you know, that's what Code Red tasted like to me.
I think Lil Wayne does that.
Yeah. Oh, now that you say that shit, that freaking picture, that meme picture that they show where it's like what that the first night you're taking freaking cough medicine, and they show like a scientist with like a beaker measuring it out perfectly, and they're like night number 2, and it's a picture of Lil Wayne from that music award that he had to cut, and you see him all fucked up like in front of it. Every time I see that makes me think of, oh man.
All right, so we already got the proof here that most of us gamers are getting sex So now we got to get the reasons why we're good at it. All right. So again, we're going across the pound, a pond, to Metro, to the UK. We got Metro UK from 2016. So they got a list. Remember I told you about those top 10? So I got top 15. So here's a couple of reasons of why. These are scientific as well, of why gamers are good at sex. They know stamina. There won't be any Sonic the Hedgehog speed performances here. Gamers spend hours crafting characters in open-world RPGs and pay special attention to their stats of strength, health, and stamina. They know the importance of getting it right and the consequences of running out of steam. I agree with that. I mean, think about it. You got to sit up and play those games for hours, man. You got to be able to work your hands. I mean, yeah, you're sitting down, but, you know, depending on the positions, maybe you're not doing Kama Sutra. But you'll at least be able to get the basics. And with time and practice, just like in video gaming, you'll be able to work out, you know, a good repertoire of positions. You'll be able to get things together. It's like a fighting game. You know, maybe you can't do all the moves, but eventually you'll be able to work out all the combos, and you have to have the stamina to do that. I mean, we've had Fatality on the Obsolete Gamer Show. I mean, he makes sure that he has a workout. He eats right before he goes into the competition. So those of us better, we'll have the stamina to get the job done. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, that's true. That's one of those things, like you say, it's especially when it comes out, like think of exactly like what you were saying, like tournament-based type of a thing. It's just like if you're doing any type of like sport, quote unquote, like you have to like have the stamina to do it. Like it's not easy sitting in front of a computer. Like look at those documentaries that they do of those guys that play in the esports, like how they literally will sit down for 10 hours a day training, you know. It's the same shit. Like they got to build up the stamina to be able to do that, you know, because if they make it to one of those big tournaments, it's like, yeah, I got to be able to sit here and win.
Yeah.
And that comes into the moving and grooving into the lovemaking scene, you know, it's all.
It's all together. About it. And like number two, they can stay up all night. You know, they can be up using their hands on the controller until 5 a.m. And they can be up using their hands on YouTube. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's right. It's see, like I told you. Told you, that StarCraft 2 clicks per second, man.
And the thing is, remember, they can take instructions, which is important. You know, you have, maybe that has to do, you know, I was just thinking about that. Maybe the times a week has to do with those instructions. Because, look, a couple of those friend zone girls have told me that, like, those rocker guys, the gym goer guys, I don't know about the dad. But they've told me that a lot of those guys, they can't take instructions. Their egos are too strong, right? And yeah, gamers can have egos, but usually versus other gamers. But they can take instructions when you need to tell them, like, look, can you
do this, do that, yeah.
Right, like, don't hit Q, hit H. And you're like, H? And they're like, yeah, hit H. So they'll take that instruction. You tell them, you know, I don't know. Look, I watch Friends and they're like, hit 7, 7, 7. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You got to hit those right buttons, and then the gamer will be like, all right, I'll hit 7. And if 7 gets you to the finisher, then you're all good.
See, those are those guys that, like, they skip the tutorial. Ha-ha! There you go. They're like, man, I don't need no freaking intro mission. I can go blow these fuckers up all I want.
Sometimes you got to hit the little question mark that says help, and you read the pop-up. You're like, oh, okay, all right.
Oh, that's why I'm fucking up. All right, now I understand.
Number three, they are sensitive. Show me one gamer who didn't cry like a baby when a certain character met their end in Final Fantasy VII.
That okay, I will agree with that. Because that traumatized me growing up, man. That was like the worst type of a thing to go through. And yeah, like that, I remember when they first showed that, like I know everybody, a lot of people, my friends that played that, when that happened, like, everybody just did the same thing. Just look at the TV, just jaw drop the controller, like, what? You know? And I think for me personally, like, because of that, I've grown a great appreciation in games to a lot of the storylines for it. And it, like, it opens you up to, like, really, like, take stuff in. Like, you have those people that are, like, narrow-minded and they like their one specific thing. But, like, I will say this, like, So going into, like, when I was really jumping into the PlayStation era, when the PS3 and all that, so I had my PS2 and all that. And when it came to the PS3 and Xbox, I actually went Xbox first. So I got the 360, and Ghost Recon was the one. Advanced Warfighter was the game that got me on the 360. And I didn't get a PS3 for a really long time, but I had heard, like, hey, there's these games that are really good and blah, 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 blah. I'll never forget when I got my PS3, and one of those games was the Uncharted series. And, man, I remember, like, starting to play the Uncharted series, and I was like, damn, like, these guys at Naughty Dog, like, they really put a really good story together for this damn game. You know, and it reminded me, like, a lot of the things of, like, Final Fantasy. Like, you know, you had those people that literally, Final Fantasy was the first, I think, real game that they really put a lot of effort into the backstory and the story of the game. And I think Uncharted just, like, was the American version of that. Like, you always would see that in a lot of those JRPGs, and that's why a lot of people that played them liked them. But I remember because of Uncharted, when they came out with The Last of Us, and I picked that game up, holy shit, like, I have never, other than Resident Evil, have sat down in a game and wanted to play it and could not stop playing it because you just wanted to see what that next bit of story was. And I tell my friends, like, when I tell them, like, to me, hands down, Last of Us was probably the best game story-wise that I've played. And they're like, you really think it was that good? I said, it says something about the game and the story of the game that I bought it on PS3, played it, beat it, traded it in, and then bought the remastered version on the PS4 because I like the game that much. And it was like icing on the cake for me that the PS4 remastered version had the DLC, all the DLC that they had for the PS3. So I got to play that single player DLC that they came out with for Ellie. And when you play through that, like, that was another type of thing that when you play through and you get to the end of that DLC, I was just like, wow, like, these fucking guys, like, knew what they were doing when they were writing this shit. And it was interesting enough that they, you know, they made the Last of Us, and one of the big things that people spoke about and complained about was you either ran into the infected people or you ran into the other survivors. You never ran into them both at the same time. And what's the first thing that Naughty Dog did in the DLC was actually put it where you were fighting against other survivors and the infected at the same time. And it added a whole new dynamic to that game, which has gotten me, like, excited for Last of Us Part 2. Like, I can't wait to see that game. I gotta play that game.
You're dying to do another Geek Salad episode, aren't you?
Oh, dude, let me tell you. Like, that's the thing that I'm at that point where I need to see, like, what we do for, like, the little intro video thing. And I've been contemplating, like, what do I want to do?
Because you totally went to a tangent about video games.
Yeah, I did. I got it, man. That's a subject for another show at another time. What were we talking about again? Oh, yeah, that's right. Gamers having more sex. Okay.
Hey, no, but you're right, though, because what happens is that you've seen where a good story brings it together, and next thing you know, you'll see gamers sitting around, and they're enjoying it, and they're there. I mean, my sister got into a lot of gaming because the story was so compelling. There'll be a love story, an adventure story, and an action story, and next thing you know, you're sitting together watching it with people that aren't even gamers. So I can definitely see how you could be sitting there with your girl and enjoy a story. Now, maybe a Call of Duty story may not do it for all women, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a stereotypical girl story to get in a girl gamer. Like you said, Last of Us has plenty of gore and all that stuff, and you'll still bring in girl gamers, and it could be something that you can watch. But, I mean, going to number 5, good with their hands, same thing with the fingers. Mm-hmm. Especially if they're adept at first-person shooters, their fingers work fast, accurate, on point to survive. The transferable skill is obvious. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you got that trigger finger. I mean, you got the hook right there. So, I mean, upset, right?
Yeah, that's right.
They know how to make decisions. Number 6, you have to be decisive in games, so in real life they won't piss around answering questions like what they fancy. See, it's UK, what they fancy, what they like, same thing. From the takeaway, well, to go, that's what they call takeaway. or what they want to go, where they want to go out. Granted, it's highly likely that they may respond that they don't want to go out, but it's still a decision. So, I can agree with that. You know, instead of having like the super passive, they always say like gamers might be passive, but you know, someone's used to making those quick decisions, like in those Telltale games. You know, you're quick to think now. You're like, you know, hey, where you want to eat? And it's like, tacos, pizza. And you're like thinking about it. You're like, well, I had tacos two nights ago, so let's go for pizza. Imagine if life was like that. You know, you had to make decisions that quick. That would be kind of difficult, right? You had a timer going down.
I mean, hilarious, like, check.
Let's see. Number 7, they always know what to say. Gamers, games such as Broken Sword and recent Life is Strange focus heavily on choosing the right response, again, like Telltale games. If you pick the wrong one, gamers know that there are life consequences. Therefore, you are more than safe to know how to ask what if someone likes your outfit. So basically, if you ask a question like, oh, do you like what I'm wearing? You know, someone's going to give you an answer. It's going to be quick, but it's probably going to be the right answer. I don't know if that's always good, because if you don't look good in that outfit, I'd rather have someone tell you the truth, but it is what it is.
I think with that, like the big thing is like what they say is like you – it's more so of I think and I take this out of like personal experience, like you know – depending on what you say, like you're going to have some sort of consequence for it. And you, in your mind mentally, and that's the thing is like, I find you can kind of work out pretty quickly what exactly, like, what is the consequence if I say this, or what is going to be the consequence if I say this, you know, you can work that out pretty quickly in your mind. And it's funny because it's the one thing that my wife tells me, she's like, you know, with all these years that I've played games, she's like, I see, like, you'll look at a problem and you'll think of ways to look at this problem that I won't even think of.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that whole, like, you think outside the box, like way outside the box type of a thing. And it was interesting because I laugh at how, I think of one game that did that for me was, if you remember the MMO, The Secret World.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that had some quests that you did that it didn't point you in any direction. Like, you had to literally figure out some of these puzzles. And it was interesting because they thought so outside the box where they were like, oh, yeah, in the game they included a web browser that you could pull up and you could search on the actual internet for stuff. And it was so funny because I remember, like, one of the investigation quests, like, you had to, like, break into this doctor's computer and you had to guess his password and you had to use like what was in front of you. So like it had an interactive thing of a photo that said like my favorite composer, blah, blah, blah. And then it gave like a year and it was like, okay, you had to figure out based on the year what this guy's composer was. And like, it gave you little clues here and there. And it was like interesting. Like you had to put this stuff together on your own, you know? And that's one of those things that I think is like huge when you look at a lot of the things is gamers look at things in the world from a completely different point of view.
Yeah, and it helps you understand like character types.
Like, yeah.
You would think that naturally you understand like your girlfriend, your wife's character, like what they like, what they don't. But in games, it gets amplified because it has to be a little bit simpler sometimes. So they're like, this character likes these things. Like even in The Sims, they like this, this, and that. So then you get to understand, like, okay, if I say these kind of things, it's better. But at the same time, I don't want to be so transparent that when I say it, she just looks at you like, you're just saying what I want to hear. So you have to make it where it's, like, authentic, but you don't want to get in the doghouse either. So you got to bridge that gap right in the middle so you get maximum reputation points, which
That's
the thing that we get from RPGs.
Max reps!
So the next one, number 8, they're resourceful. Gamers can find a use for anything. They spend half their lives picking up random plants and rooting through people's cupboards after wandering uninvited into their homes. Well, I don't know about going to other people's homes.
We're MacGyvers. We'll find a use for that damn thing.
But I can see being resourceful, especially with things like GPS and finding things to do and things like that. I mean, I've been with friends where it's like we had a plan to do one thing, and it's like, what we're going to do, and it's like, oh, well, let's look up something, and everyone's looking on their different devices. And it's not like just default go to the movies or go to the nearest whatever, Denny's or some shit. Like, we'll come up with something really interesting.
You King know? Buffet, baby.
But, yeah, I mean, or even if you're at home, it's like, yeah, you could just turn on a game. That could be interesting, but there's a lot of resources that you can do, especially, like, on dates. Instead of doing, like, the basic date. I've seen gamers come up with some interesting dates where you can put a bunch of things together. And, hey, ladies like that. Any lady will tell you that if you think outside the box, even if she doesn't 100% like what you end up doing, if you put effort into it, you know, that's why you end up with 6 times a week.
And that's the funny thing about that is, like, that reminds me of my whole thing with, like, playing JRPGs is – You'll probably remember this too. It's like you'd be going along and you're happy-go-lucky going along your quest, and then all of a sudden on the edge of the screen you'd see like a little treasure chest, and you'd be like, "I'm gonna find that motherfucker," and you would spend an hour looking for the path you had to take to get to it, and you realize like, "God damn it, it was just an herb. I could have just skipped this. I didn't really need it." But it was that whole like that could be the treasure chest that holds that like ultimate weapon that you need.
The worst part will be is like. In, like, Final Fantasy VII, you're going, you'll see something, and you'll go to get it, and there's, like, some hard-ass boss or something, and you'll die, like, 3 times, and when you get it, it's a Phoenix down, and you're like, it's one Phoenix down, and I died 7 times to get one.
To get one Phoenix down.
One res. Okay. All right, so, number 9, speaking of dying a bunch of times, they deal with failure well. Yep. They have to if they've ever played the first Crash Bandicoot game.
Yeah, I was about to say, I love the fact that they called out the first Crash Bandicoot game.
I mean, if anyone's ever played that, yes. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. I mean, that one, again, is half and half, because if anyone's ever played League of Legends, you know that a lot of gamers do not take failure well.
Phew, yeah. The toxicity is high on that one.
But I understand what they're getting at. You have to be able to take loss well, or at least fake it. And like I said, going back to what I was saying about EverQuest, if you're playing with someone else, and we actually wrote an article about this way back in the day when we actually used to write articles, what do you do if you're playing with your significant other and they mess you up? Like, how do you deal with that? And we actually talked about that a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't really, like, yell at them. I mean, you can, but, yeah.
No, backhand.
That's yeah. Because, I mean, like, if you screw up, right, like, what are you going to do? You could, like, you could say, like, I screwed up, and then you turn to her, and you're wondering, like, if she's going to say something or not. And then if she screws up, what are you going to do? You're going to yell at her, and you're like, you killed us, you! And then you're like, yeah.
I will say this, if playing with a significant other and you screw up, you're going to get a hand to the back of the head. Just.
And if she screws up, you got to be like, honey, that's okay. It's all right.
It's all right. It only costs us our lives and 4 Phoenix Downs, which we need for the end of the game.
There is no equality here, okay? I want you guys to understand that. There is no equality. If we fuck up, we fucked up. If they fucked up, it's okay.
It's okay. Okay.
Let's make this clear. Okay, so number 10, they're intelligent. Serious point klaxon, but games are more than just shooting people, collecting rings. Most people require serious skill and thought, as well as strong reflexes and abilities to solve problems. Games may get a bad rep, but most serious gamers I have met are also some of the most intelligent. Okay, yep. I mean, it's true. Not across the board, because there's bad in gamers. But for everyone else, you know, it takes a couple of intelligence points in there and, you know, a little bit of charisma, a little bit of wisdom to play games. So for those of us that actually play real games, then, you know, you got to have a little bit of smarts to play these games. But I understand what they're talking about. You know, you got to actually be able to do a little troubleshooting and do this kind of stuff. So I understand that. I mean, get the glasses and stuff like that.
Oh, good old number 11.
Yeah, number 11, I like this. They know how to find your weak spot. Good news, if you have a G-spot, a gamer is trained to find the only spot that can bring a towering boss to their knees and reduce them to a quivering wreck. Woohoo! So, yeah, that's a good skill to have, because it's like up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start. That's how you can find a lot of them, but not all of them. So it's good to ask, because sometimes it's select start if there's two of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the key is to make sure that you find out. That goes to getting instructions on where to find it, because everybody has different cheat codes. So, yeah. Ask. Always ask.
Always.
Number 12, they have a sense of fun. You can never call gamers boring. Gaming is about fun, so it stands to reason that those who invest in them and enjoy them are fun people who don't take life too seriously. I mean, how can you spend half of your life as an elf warrior? I mean, you can't be boring if you spend your life. I mean, in EverQuest, if you played an elf warrior, people made fun of you because they said you had to pick either a barbarian or org. I mean, maybe if you picked a troll for regen, but elf warrior, no, they made fun of you. But just playing anything, period, you have to have some kind of sense of humor, even when people say that gaming is serious business. So just keep that in mind. Number 13, they're tech savvy, obviously. So any problems you have with electronics will be sorted out in no time. Again, it's half and half, because I know a lot of gamers, having worked at Alienware, that didn't really know much beyond turning on their computer and launching their game. But I get what you're getting at. You have to learn more and more about your computer. If you're a console gamer, you don't have to know anything. You can be dumb like Madden gamers, PC Master Race. So I guess it's more if you actually play on a real gaming system known as a PC. Then you're a little bit more. You have the potential to become much more tech savvy, okay? It's just the truth, guys. I'm only speaking the truth. Okay, number 14. Buying gifts for them is easy. Hello, a gamer gift card, please. I mean, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess there's a potential to mess up, just like how you can mess up with buying toys. I was the kind of person that when I was growing up, I had like G.I. Joe's and Transformers, and yet my uncle, who lived in the house directly in front of us, would buy me green plastic army men. I don't know how you fucked that up. A G.I. Joe was like this big and was colorful and said G.I. Joe on it and had accessories. Green army men was this big, came in a plastic bag with 100 of his colleagues, and cost $2.99 in the checkout aisle of the local grocery store. It was a doctor, by the way.
Not that you're holding a grudge or anything.
Oh, no, I ain't bitter. No, I ain't. All right, number 15, guys.
On to the next one.
Dressing up and roleplay can always be in the cards. Sod your naughty nurses and police officer outfits. Cosplay loving gamers go the extra mile. Just don't let them get too into it and announce that they are about to deplete their mana supply. I hope you understand that innuendo. I mean, really, you should if you're a gamer. But, yeah, I mean, anyone who's been to any type of convention has seen the cosplayers. And what's really – you know, I want to say this, and Randy, you can tell me if you agree. That's a good way to kind of, you know, check out a potential mate. Because if they look good in cosplay, I mean
– that's true.
There's very little else yet to see.
It's one of those things where, like – If you sit there and you want to have an idea like how crazy it can get, just Google search Jessica Nigiri and you'll understand. Like, that is like the like top of the top when it comes to like cosplayers. And it's like, holy crap, like some people take that shit very, very seriously. Like, there's people that literally do that as like, she does it as a living. Like, they pay her to go to these like different conventions and they'll dress up like she does a lot of the stuff herself, but she also has like friends of hers that do the stuff to help her out. And like, dude, when you see some of like the costumes that she comes up with, it is insane at like how she'll say, like, I'm going to pick this character that you would think, like, there's no way you could do a good cosplay of that person. And they pull it off. Like, I think my favorite one that I've seen of hers was when she did the Deathwing cosplay. I don't know if you've seen
that. Oh, I saw that picture, yeah.
Dude, like, everyone was like, there is no way she's going to be able to pull that off. And then, like, everybody saw her and they were like, holy crap, she pulled it off. Like, it was amazing amount of, like, detail and all that stuff into it. And it was like, shit. And it's hilarious because, like, it makes you wonder how long it takes her to, like, get into a lot of those costumes because they're, like, freaking super, 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 like, intricate costumes. That it's insane, like.
Yeah, I mean, when I just go to a regular convention, whether it's a big one like E3 or local ones here in Miami like SuperCon, you see just everyday people dressing up in these cosplay, and, I mean, it's awesome. And these are just regular girls. I mean, all types.
And someone spent a ton of money on those things, too.
Yeah, it's that's nice. Cheap. Pretty girls. I mean, it's really great. And I would also add just my little thing is that a lot of gamers really just don't give a fuck about what other people think because they've gotten so much flack.
Yeah.
They get flack by the outside world that says gamers ain't shit, that we're this, we're that, blah, blah, blah. They get flack by other gamers. So at this point, they're just like, screw it. And maybe those who are already single, they're already thinking to themselves, oh, well, maybe I'm not going to find somebody. So then they're out there just being themselves. And think about it. In a way, that's what everyone always tell you from parents to teachers to whatever. Just be yourself. So think about it. You're at a convention being yourself. And as long as you're not a total troll, you're probably going to be in your element. And if you meet, that's the perfect time to meet somebody. You're in your element. And as long as you're at least clean and, like, you know, you washed your clothes.
As long as you don't stink.
You meet a gamer girl, that's you. You're not, like, putting on a front. So then, bam, she meets you. She's like, wow, you actually smell decent and you like the same shit I do. Let's hook up and you're good to go. So that's what I suggest. And we have this poster here that has 29 logical reasons why gamers make better lovers. So these have some of the stuff that was on the list that we just read, plus a whole lot more. And this just, it just puts together the entire package as to why gamers have more sex, better lovers, and it's just...
Damn right. Damn right.
You're welcome.
We did all the research for you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's what we do here. That's what we do. So,
oh, man.
We're going to be back with another topic that's just going to show you how awesome we are and sometimes how awesome we aren't. Because, you know, we got to play both sides.
Yeah. We got to do the good with the bad.
That's right. But stay tuned because we're going to keep them coming. But until next time, I'm J.A. He's Randy. We'll be back very soon. Until then, peace out.
Peace.